Today's program has been brought to you by Heritage Foods USA, the nation's largest distributor of heritage breed pigs and turkeys. For more information, visit heritagefoodsusa.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
You're about to hear a live broadcast on heritageradionetwork.org.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
You're listening to a special interview in anticipation of the 2013 Just Food Conference. Just Food connects communities with the resources and support they need to make fresh, locally grown food accessible to all New Yorkers. Just Food also has a food justice program that increases awareness and action around food and farm issues and advances policies for a thriving local food system. The 2013 Just Food Conference will take place on Friday, March 29th and Saturday, March 30th. For more information and tickets, visit justfood.org.
All right. Thank you for tuning in. I'm your host today, Erin Fairbanks, and we are on the line with Arif Ulla of the Citizens Committee for New York City. Arif, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
So you are going to be hosting a workshop at the upcoming Just Food Conference on the basics of community organizing. And I would love to kind of jump into a little bit of a preview of that. But before we get started, maybe you can give us a little background on the Citizens Committee. Committee for New York City for folks who might not be familiar.
The Citizens Committee for New York City is a nonprofit organization, and our name sometimes gets sort of conflated with the city of New York, but we're not at all affiliated with the city. And we've been around since the mid-70s, and we grew out of the fiscal crisis of the mid-70s. Our mission then, as it is now, is to support grassroots community groups in their efforts to improve their communities. And I stress there because we don't dictate to them what they should be doing, what issues they should be addressing, how they should be going about addressing those issues. We really support them where they're at.
And one of the things that you do in particular is managing the organization's micro-grants program. What is that?
Correct. Sure. We give out small grants to grassroots community groups, and let me just be a bit more clear on what I mean by grassroots community groups. They can be block associations, they could be community garden groups, they can be a community-supported agriculture group, a tenants association, basically any configuration of neighbors that come together to work on issues that they identify as being important to them. And they approach us for financial support for grants, and if they meet our criteria, which is that, you know, they be resident-led, unstaffed, and basic criteria like that, then we're able to support them with a small grant, anywhere between $500 to $3,000 to carry out their community improvement projects.
And so you guys have defined micro for your organization between $500 and $3,000. Is that standard for a micro grant? Or, I mean, does that language mean something like the same across the country, or...?
That's a good question, Erin. I don't know, really, but I know that there are other groups, other organizations. They do give out small grants or micro grants, and they seem to be in that range. And so I think that there's probably some level of consistency within that range.
And why micro grants? I mean, why give a number of small grants versus giving a few kind of more substantial amounts?
Yeah, that's a very good question. You know, the groups that we support, and you will hear me say grassroots a lot, but the groups that we support are grassroots groups. And these are groups that really can do a lot with just a little bit of money. And so even a $500 grant for a block association is a pretty big deal. And whereas they would have to generate that among themselves and through their members, us giving them that grant goes a long way. And also, really, there isn't any other organizations to support those types of grassroots efforts or those types of organizations. for staffed nonprofit organizations, they can apply for a grant from some of the larger foundations. They have 501c3, which is a technical term for nonprofit status IRS uses, and they can approach those types of foundations for grants. But a lot of the types of groups that we support, they don't have that status, and they can't really approach any other type of organization for a grant. We don't require that status, and so we can make ourselves available to them. And so those small grants are very deliberate and very intentional, and it is so that we can be accessible to those types of small groups working on a very, very grassroots level.
Yeah, it sounds like you guys are stepping in to fill a funding niche that isn't being served by other organizations.
Yeah.
So in addition to managing the micro grant program for the Citizens Committee, what else do you spend your time doing for the organization?
That alone is a lot. We just received about 700 applications for our main neighborhood grants program. And so that's a lot of applications to review, and we carefully consider every application. We often follow up with phone calls to those groups, because the groups that are submitting applications aren't ones that have like professional development people writing grant proposals. These are folks who are doing this work on weekends and weeknights, and so sometimes it's difficult to glean the heart of the project. So we'll follow up with phone calls, we'll have conversations with these folks and find out a little bit more about their projects and how they're really working hard to improve their communities. And so we're going through that right now, applications from every corner of the city. But in addition to that, and concurrently, we're constantly facilitating workshops. We just completed a workshop series in East Flatbush, that series, the overall focus of the series is community organizing, but there are specifics that we get into. We have a workshop called Basics of Community Organizing, where we talk about things like how to do outreach and how to create a work plan and what about a mission and what are goals and things like that. And then we have another workshop that's on the structure of a group and how structure really should be deliberate and not something that just happens to a group, because that really can impact how a group runs. And another workshop on navigating city government. And we're not at all trying to demystify all of city government, because it's still a mystery to us, but we do try to address some of the main issues the lack of understanding that people have about particular city agencies, and particularly the ones that the groups that we support work with, like the Department of Parks and Sanitation and Transportation. And so navigating city government sort of gets at making the city more approachable, not in a way to, on behalf of the city, but rather, so that regular folks can feel comfortable approaching the city for services. And then another sort of bedrock workshop that we have is grassroots fundraising. So we get at how we can raise money within our own communities, because one of the things that I fully believe is that as much as many of our communities may be low income, we have resources, we have talents, and we're spending those resources sometimes not at businesses, establishments that are giving back to our communities. So, taking stock of those types of resources, understanding that we can do fundraising within our own communities, and then by doing that, we're accountable to each other within our own communities and not to another organization, that may not really have a commitment to what's happening on a grassroots or local level.
So it sounds like you guys keep pretty busy.
Yeah, we're a pretty small staff too, Erin. So we definitely keep busy. The other thing that we do, and I forgot to mention, is what's called project planning assistance. And that's a boring name, of course, but it's very intentional in that, some groups use the term technical assistance. There's another term, project implementation. First of all, I don't know what technical assistance means, though I hear it all the time. With project implementation, we don't, at Citizens Committee, we're not in the business of implementing projects. We don't believe that we, as outsiders, are the ones who should be implementing the project. But we can certainly be available to groups to help plan a project. So, you know, if a group is wanting to plan a project, or maybe a group is, you know, experiencing some issues within the organization, membership or leadership or whatever it is, we can offer some feedback, maybe some guidance. What we really end up doing is, you know, facilitating wisdom and knowledge that already exists, whether that's, you know, with core members of a group through project planning assistance or in a workshop. You know, there is so much knowledge and wisdom that people already possess, and, you know, we see our roles as really facilitating that type of knowledge and wisdom. And it's really great at workshops when we have people often from every borough represented, and we do a lot of breakout activities. Our workshops are based on a popular education philosophy, so it's very participatory. And through those breakout activities, you know, people are connecting with each other and learning about the amazing stuff that they're working on and building with each other. So, yeah, that's an earful that I just gave you, but that's kind of a, the things that we focus on here at Citizens Committee.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, one of the things you mentioned there was, like, those phrases that you hear all the time and you're never really sure kind of exactly what it means. And for me, I think that community organizing always fell into that role where I kind of had a sense of what it was, but I don't know that I could totally define it. So maybe you can give us a sense of how the Citizens Committee for New York City would define that and take us through some of the basics that you'll be covering in your workshop.
Yeah, sure. You know, we start out with the question if we're at the community organizing workshop, what is community organizing? And, you know, really it's not a science. And you know, it makes me laugh a little bit when I hear about, you know, degrees now that you can get, you know, I guess a community organizing degree. And I'm not knocking it. That's fine. People, you know, should be able to pursue what they want. But what happens is then that becomes, you know, something that then people feel, well, I don't have a community organizing degree. I shouldn't do community organizing. Fact is, people have been doing community organizing for many, many years without degrees. And so I understand it as being very, very basic. And that is bringing members of our communities together to work on an issue or two that's important to us. You know, so it's that bringing together and then moving towards an issue or working on an issue. Then that, in essence, that's what community organizing is. And what we cover in our workshop is, you know, how do we identify an issue? How do we start talking to some members of our community to form a core group where, you know, we really are committed to, you know, whatever issues that we identify. And then, you know, how do we start setting goals and how do we start reaching out to members of our community? And, you know, the heart of any community organizing effort is, of course, people. And so we really spend a lot of time talking about outreach strategies. And some of those are basic, like tabling and flyering. And, you know, some of them are, you know, actually, you know, getting at new media. So social media is another way to reach out to people, to engage people. But we're very careful to say that if you do use social media, be aware of the community that you're working with, because, you know, it may be that that new form of media isn't what's most appropriate to that community. I mean, most of the groups that we work with, most of the people we work with are members of their own community. So they have a sense of what the realities are because they live there. And so, you know, that's, I think, an advantage that we have. These are self-driven folks that we're working with who are wanting to organize their own communities. We're not trying to get them to do anything that they don't want to do. But, you know, reaching out to other people in their communities, sometimes they don't really know how to go about doing that. And so, you know, we're able to share some strategies that we've found to be effective. And then we talk about, well, you've got people now, how do you keep people? Because I think that's a piece that is often missed. You know, people are always dropping out of organizations. And so it's really important to be able to make sure that those who get involved. And then we talk a little bit about what, in fact, Just Food, one of the things they talk about in some of their workshops is what's called asset-based community development. And it's something that an academic had come up with, but it's really just a basic concept of, you know, taking stock of the resources that are available in your community. a lot of sort of social scientists as well as nonprofit organizations, they do what's called a needs assessment. And a needs assessment immediately assumes that a community is deficient and lacking. You know, what does that community need? What does it not have? Whereas with, you know, the approach of first taking stock of the resources, first seeing what kinds of talents, what kinds of, you know, wealth, if not economic, what other types of wealth the community has, that really values the community and puts it in a sort of different light, and also informs the thinking about an organizer, in an organizer about that community. So that's, when we have time, you know, we're able to dig into it a little bit more at the workshop, that sort of asset-based community development approach. But it is something at least we try to mention.
Yeah, and it sounds like there is a real need for a sensitivity to language and a sensitivity to the communities that you're working with to, you know, first step is kind of figuring out, you know, who you're dealing with and how best to deal, you know, what your role of facilitator will be. So I want to take just a short break, and when we come back, talk a little bit more about the role of community organizing in the food community. So let's hang tight. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
You're listening to Leaving by Dead Stars on the HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Alright, we're back. You are tuned in to the Heritage Radio Network. We're doing a special preview session for the upcoming Just Food Conference. We are on the line with Arif Ula, who works with the Citizens Committee for New York City, and will be hosting a workshop at the conference on the basics of community organizing. So Arif, I was wondering, you know, if we're looking specifically at the issues around food, does that change anything, or is food kind of fit right in and it's just like a different type of issue?
I mean, I think that some of the basic community organizing tools can be applied to most situations. And, you know, I mean, there are so many amazing food-related organizing work that's happening right now, whether that's, you know, urban agriculture, you know, a lot of community gardens, more community gardens than ever before, farmers markets, and people buying locally, you know, formation of community-supported agriculture groups, and also, you know, workers' rights. Initiatives where, you know, people who work in the food system, whether that's at a restaurant or on a farm, there's amazing work being done there. And, you know, I consider all of that, and it is organizing work. And so I think that a lot of those same tools that we just talked about could be easily applied to any of these types of organizing initiatives.
And the other thing is evaluation in this type of work. I mean, it's one thing to kind of start a project or to look at reaching out to a community to bring attention to an issue or to accomplish something. But can you talk a little bit about how we, you know, how do we know what success looks like? How do we measure whether or not, you know, we've had an impact? And does that play into your, when someone receives a grant from your organization, is there an evaluation component?
Yeah, there really is, Erin, but we also, look, the thing is, there seems to be a real sort of fetish with metrics right now. And, you know, we're often asked, to produce numbers that, you know, then we're in a position that we might have to pass on that, those sorts of, responsibilities to the groups we support. And, you know, I don't think that just because we give a group a $500 or $3,000 grant that they should be burdened with collecting ridiculous information. However, having said that, it is, you know, evaluation is important. It is necessary for us to reflect, you know, as individuals on our behavior and as organizations and as groups on strategies that we may have used or are using. So if a group is doing a community organizing initiative to start a new community garden, and they're not really making any progress, well, if they're not really pausing and reflecting on how they're going about with that effort, then they're simply going to be doing the same thing over and over again. So it is really necessary, I think, to have sort of evaluations built in periodically. So, it may be every 6 months for a new group, particularly for a project that's not very, very long term, maybe even less than that, every 3 months, and taking stock of, well, what's going on, how are the strategies that we're using actually contributing to reaching our goals, etc. But you're right, it is necessary to really be able to reflect, to have those types of evaluations, so that we can either fine-tune the strategies that we're using, so we can not use those strategies and take on new strategies, just to see what's effective and how we can be most effective in our community organizing efforts.
So I we're just about out of time, but I was hoping that maybe you could take us through an example of a project that your group has funded that you feel super, proud of and excited to kind of share some of their success with us.
Well, this grant cycle will be supporting several new community gardening initiatives, and so there are several gardens that are starting for the first time, and not surprisingly, many of them are in Brooklyn. I think the geography of Brooklyn sort of lends itself to having community gardens, but there are some in Queens, and there's one in Queens that is actually a youth-led initiative, and it's in the sort of Flushing area, and they're basically cleaning out an abandoned lot that had been an eyesore for several years, and they're engaging their parents and others in the neighborhood to plant vegetables and grow fresh food in their neighborhood, that's just a short example of the types of projects that are happening in so many parts of the city, and that are really often off the radar, right? These aren't, as much as it's really great and amazing what's happening, they're not always heard on the news. We hear about stabbings and those sorts of things, but there are really, really amazing things that are happening in every pocket of the city, and that's what I take, what I'm encouraged by, because it's really, people are doing some amazing work.
Arif, thank you so much for joining us today. We look forward to seeing you at the conference and doing some more celebrating of some great success stories.
Thanks, Erin.
Thank you. And in the meantime, if you want to learn more about the work of Citizens Committee for New York, definitely check them out at www.citizensnyc.org. You can find out about them, take a look at their grants and resources, news and events, and if you feel compelled, definitely shoot a little donation their way. Tickets are going fast for the Just Food Conference, but you can still get them. You can find tickets at justfood.org, and we hope you'll sign up, and we hope to see you there. Thanks so much for listening.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.